Welcome to Alphabet Flight, an encyclopedic Marvel journey where we go through the official Marvel handbook and talk about the characters we know and love and forgotten along the way. I'm your helping host, Jordan, and with me is, I think, someone who's currently king of Otherworld, Art.
Hi. I have a brother who somehow people dislike more, even though I'm a total asshole.
Yeah, but sometimes people just like assholes and certain smarmy assholes. And I don't think Brian is much of a smarmy asshole. He's just an asshole.
Yeah, he's just white privilege incarnate.
Which is bad because I think we're talking about Jamie Braddock, and I was gonna say I think he's been involved in slave trading. So, jeez.
Yeah.
The fact that he's liked more than. Anyways, yes. What do you know about Jamie Braddock?
He is one of the top reality benders in the Marvel Universe. He doesn't like his brother, but like a lot of people, don't. And he's British, which makes him a bad guy.
I think I don't know if, how they've explained it, but they've always seemed to imply that he has also had some mental trouble, like mental instability. That's what I think is, and they like do they always play it as he's just, you know, in wards of media as crazy, or is it just like there is some underlying things to it where he has an actual like disability or moments of lucidity or something like that? And it's always hard to tell some of them because I've read him in Krakoa era, where like I mentioned, like he became king and stuff like that, and he's like the type of person where like you just kind of like careful where you what you say around them, but you're also like, well, as long as you're fine, you know, as long as you don't provoke him, you know, like he's like a wild animal. As long as you don't provoke him, you're not going to get into trouble. And he's relatively, you know, reasonable. Is the other thing is that he can be reasoned with.
I think for a long time the read on him was he did have some mental issues, and because he was a reality warper that was that powerful, anything that he was thinking about at that time was real. Oof. So he was just never needed help. Never thought he needed help.
Oh.
Because, you know, everything you think is real, then you're not crazy, it's real. Why would you need help? Like, you know.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of, you know, that's kind of terrifying then.
Yeah.
All right. So, let's get on to with what the stats we have here. Real name, James Braddock Jr. No other aliases, no dual identity, and occupation is none. Former race driver, slave trader, and agent of Satyr 9. Which I guess at this point now that there's still kind of an agent of Satyr 9 because she's the omniversal whatever of Otherworld or something like that, and he's like a monarch of the
weird
of, and he's like king, like monarch of Camelot or something like that now. Whatever. Yeah. It's magical worlds are weird sometimes.
Yeah.
All right. Citizenship, UK, United Kingdom, with a criminal record in Mbangui. I hope I said that right. And place of birth is United Kingdom. Known relatives, Brian Braddock, who's Captain Britain brother, Elizabeth Betsy Braddock, Psylocke's sister, James Braddock Sr., father deceased, Elizabeth Braddock, mother deceased, and Megan, sister-in-law. A group affiliation, Forsaken. And that's, by the way, Forsaken, not Forsaken. Former agent of Satyr 9. Education, university graduate. And first appearance is in Captain Britain number 9 in 1976. What was the title in that one? Demon Fire. And let me just send you a link of the cover, which I think this is from the Marvel UK. So it's So it was a 10 pence cover.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of cover copy.
Yeah, there's a lot of cover copy and just like a big image on it with some floating angry head in the background as Captain Britain in the face covered hair uncovered version of his costume being attacked by demons. Yeah,
the opposite of most cows.
Yeah.
The bottom of his face is covered, not the top of his head.
Got to show that blonde hair.
Yeah.
Wow, there is a lot of cover. There's a title at the top where it says it's featuring the Fantastic Four and Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And let's see, what's the little box or a little circle that says shock follows shock when Captain Britain battles the demon creatures of Dr. Sin? And that's Sin, S-Y-N-N-E, because, you know, it can't be normal.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what he's fighting on the cover, is these demon-looking, like, creatures. That, you know what? They kind of remind me of the creature from the Black Lagoon kind of thing.
Yeah, very much.
With the web ears and stuff. Yes?
Maybe he's fighting the Doctor of Sins of British colonialism.
Now, come on. You know that Brian would be fine with that.
Yeah, he's probably...
Maybe he's fighting the sins of the sins in quotation marks of those colonized states trying to fight back.
Oh yeah, maybe. That's it's. You shouldn't fight against your colonial overlords because it makes them feel sad. And that's rude.
Yeah, that's just plain rude.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be rude, would you?
And if there's anything British people hate, it's being rude.
Yes, but that's a lie. British people love being rude. It's like actually part of their national identity.
I also almost forgot. So Jamie was created by Chris Claremont and Herb Trimpe. I've never heard of Herb Trimpe before.
Herb Trimpe?
Trimpe. Okay. Is that how you say his name?
I don't think I've heard. He was around during the 70s a lot. I think early 80s. Yeah.
Okay. That's weird. There's unfortunately a lot of comic creator names that I actually don't know, other than like some relatively large, you know, names bandied on, and I kind of feel bad about that.
You know, it's have so much brain capacity.
Yeah, it is what it is. All right, so let's get into the history here. Jamie Braddock was the eldest child of Sir James Braddock, secretly one of Merlin's chosen guard, who had been sent to Earth 616 to father champions. Oh yeah, that's right. Is Merlin basically sent a guy to like make children to be champions, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, don't you know? That's perfectly okay.
initially appeared that this potential had missed Jamie, instead coming to fruition in his younger siblings, the twins Brian and Betsy. 10 years their elder, as a child, Jamie was often expected to look after them, something he initially resented despite this and his feeling somewhat excluded from their close rapport. He loved them both dearly, especially his extroverted sister. Jamie spent most of his youth in boarding school, bonding with fellow students Ned Horrocks, Godfrey Calthrop, and girlfriend Amina Singe. Preferring to make their own rules, they were expelled from several schools, earning them the nickname The Forsaken. Oh, so it was just a name they made up for each other. A sobriquet that they wore with pride. Jamie became a Formula One racing driver, working for Hugh, Lord Quain, and other racing teams, and twice winning the world championship. When Jamie was in his early 30s, his parents were murdered by the mastermind computer Sir James had grown under Braddock Manor. Their deaths passed off as freak accidents. Unaware of the truth, Jamie became the new lord of the manor. A few months later, Mastermind targeted Jamie too through its pawn, Dr. Sin, Christopher Thorne. A near miss that prompted Betsy to call Brian home from university. Jamie soon learned his brother had recently become the superhero Captain Britain when Brian stopped to possess Betsy from killing them both on Sin's behalf. Brian soon dealt with both Sin and Mastermind, only to see Jamie and Betsy held hostage by the Red Skull, and that's Johann Schmidt's goons. Brian rescued them with Captain America and with Steve Rogers, and concerned for Brian's safety after witnessing news footage showing him battling Lord Hawk, and that's the Willard Scott Lord Hawk, Jamie tried to offer his assistance, only to be rudely rebuffed. Despite being irked by this, Jamie later assisted Brian with information after his former employee, Lord Quain, was murdered by Slaymaster. However, after Brian went overseas and Betsy's modeling career took off, Jamie lost touch with both. Addicted to his racing career's rich lifestyle, Jamie took a bribe from their criminal Magia organization to lose a race, then won anyway. To repay them, he took illegal jobs, using his racing as cover to travel the world. Minor crimes became increasingly lucrative and immoral ones, until he was trading in human lives, arranging raids on aid convoys to steal their supplies for sale on the black market, and selling the aid workers into slavery. Aware of his activities and needing a way of luring Captain Britain out of the UK, British intelligence agency RCX, that's Researchers Control Executive, learned Jamie was taking part in the Trans-Africa Rally and tipped off President Joshua Ndingi, Dr. Crocodile, of Mbangwe about Jamie's crimes. Both he and gunrunners Jamie owed money to made plans to intercept Jamie during the race. Unaware of his misdeeds, his fellow Forsaken elected to join him, thinking the race would be a laugh. On the seventh day, the gunrunners ambushed the Forsaken in a desolate section of the Sahara, but their captives were rescued by the First Fallen, a cosmic being which wished to freeze reality at a point of perfection for all eternity, and which had sensed that within Jamie there lay the potential to achieve this goal. The First Fallen drew them to his realm, the Singing City, and offered to release the innate power he sensed within each of them, in return for them becoming his servitors. Calthrop, Horrocks, and Singe really agreed, but Jamie, either afraid of or through his otherworldly heritage, sensing something awry with the deal, refused and fled straight into Mbangwe custody. Having been misled to believe Ryan sponsored Jamie's illicit pastimes, Ndingi then had Jamie call his brother to tell him of his plight. Brian and his girlfriend Megan raced to Jamie's rescue, but upon discovering his crimes, they left him to his fate. A just man, Ndingi tried to mystically cure Jamie's evil nature, but Crocodile's witch woman instead unlocked Jamie's reality-manipulating powers through the magic that held Jamie also bound these. I like how it's like, oh, we can just cure him with magic.
But to be fair, most of the time you can.
Yeah, I guess in comics.
Most of the time you can.
Yeah, I guess in comics there is quite a precedent for that, huh? But anyways, aware that the Jamie of her reality, Earth 794, possessed superhuman powers, dimensionally displaced despot Saturn 9 to hire the TechNet to free Jamie, but his experience had left him insane, convinced he was living in a dream where his action had no consequences. Jamie enters Saturn 9's service, helping her take over the crime lord Vixen's organization. Finding the Braddock housekeeper Emmett Collins had died in his absence, he resurrected her, life and death no longer absolutes to him. He also has targeted his brother's team Excalibur, empowering his Earth 9019 counterpart to battle them. Soon after, Jamie clashed with Alpha Omega, an other dimensional from Earth 8908 reality warper, which briefly put him off playing with alternate Earths. Eventually, Saturn 9 ambushed Excalibur and Betsy, now the X-Men Psylocke, in Braddock Manor. Jamie slew their ally, Alessandre Stewart, and then tortured the captives for hours, distorting their bodies grotesquely, before Megan broke free of his transformation and attacked him. His concentration broken, his victims returned to normal, and Psylocke rendered Jamie comatose with her psychic knife. Saturn 9's troops fled, taking Jamie with them. Under undisclosed circumstances, the still unconscious Jamie eventually ended up at Excalibur's Myrrh Island base, where siblings attempted to reach him telepathically, hoping to find the caring brother they had both lost. Eventually, Jamie awoke, his sanity mostly restored, his powers having increased, and sensing the approaching threat of the First Fallen. He returned to Braddock Manor, finding it empty as Brian had emigrated to Otherworld. When several members of the X-Men visited the manor looking for Brian, Jamie hid from their senses and tested them in battle against a simulacra of the hero-killing Fury. Then they defeated it only after much of the manor was demolished, but Jamie discouraged further investigation using illusions of Brian, Megan, and a restored manor, though he permitted the telepath Marvel Girl, Rachel Gray, to catch a glimpse of him. Learning that Betsy had died while he was recuperating, an annoyed Jamie revived her and, intending to use her against the First Fallen, he made her immune to external manipulation, be it telepathic or reality warping. Jamie continued to covertly observe his resurrected sister as she rejoined the X-Men and monitored his brother Brian in Otherworld 2. When another reality warper, the Scarlet Witch, Wanda Maximoff, transformed the Earth into the House of M, her changes caused a reality wave tsunami that struck as far as Otherworld, threatening to destabilize the entire multiverse. To prevent this, Omniversal Magistrix Saturnine, a counterpart of Saturn 9, tried to destroy Earth 616 using a celestial nullifier, but Jamie revealed himself long enough to destroy the device. Brian and Megan entered the House of M Reality to seal the breach the tsunami had opened, but were immediately assimilated into the Change Earth, forgetting their mission. However, Jamie helped remind Brian in time to prevent catastrophe.
I kind of want to read that. I have not. But I think that would be interesting if it is written in a good way.
I'm trying to remember if I read that part, because I did read a lot of the House of M stuff. Like, I made sure I grabbed it, and I think I grabbed... I think it happened mostly in Excalibur.
I kind of want to do...
Like, I definitely remember...
Full read-through.
Yeah, I definitely remember Brian and Megan, okay, we're going to go in there and do, and then immediately getting subsumed by the roles that they would have had in that reality. But, yeah. But I can't remember how it went or how it ended. Though I do kind of remember Jamie, popping in to help them, find the right way. I just don't remember them, sealing up the tsunami or whatever. So, but I don't know. I remember it being okay, at least, but nothing. But at the same time, I'm not sure if it is. I don't remember much because it was for a long time ago that I read it, or that it was just it was an okay thing that just didn't really pop out of me at the time. And again, that could have just been because at the time I was reading a lot of different things, and it was just one amongst a noise of a lot of stuff. I don't know. I'd have to I'd have to probably reread it or look over it again to see what it is. Knowing the Forsaken were closing in on him as they needed his power to bring the First Fallen to Earth, Jamie appeared outside the X-Men mansion, casually disabling the government sentinels guarding it, then tried to warn the wary X-Men of the impending danger. Before he could fully do so, the First Fallen opened a portal behind him and pulled him through. He was delivered to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in Central Park, where the remaining Forsaken were preparing a spell that would allow the First Fallen to fully manifest on Earth, a conjuration for which Jamie was a vital component. The X-Men pursued, but were easily captured, with the sole exception of Psylocke, who proved to be invisible to the other Forsaken thanks to Jamie's alterations. As the First Fallen began to enter Earth's dimension, Psylocke disrupted the spell. The rift between dimensions rapidly closing again, the First Fallen pulled all present through to its realm. The X-Men were surprised to find the Singing City idyllic, and the First Fallen seemingly benevolent, seeking only to bring perfection to each civilization it discovered, a goal which was being blocked for Earth solely by Janie's intransigence. That's a word I've never saw before, but oddly enough, I can kind of guess what it means. Jamie's old friends tried to convince him to accept the First Fallen's offer, but he resisted, certain there was a catch, one which Betsy soon divined. The First Fallen's perfection required all but four members of each species to be eliminated. Though all other Singing City residents were blocked from committing violent acts by the First Fallen's psionic influence, Betsy's immunity allowed her to attack him. Caught unprepared, the First Fallen's psionic control was broken, restoring the free will and powers of all present. Ned attacked the First Fallen and was swiftly slain. Betsy held the First Fallen at bay while Jamie returned to the X-Men, Godfrey and Amina to Earth. Ignoring Betsy's instruction to flee, Jamie realized he could not sacrifice his sister and sent her home too, closing the passage to Earth, leaving himself trapped to face the First Fallen's wrath. And that's where we end with this article.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, because I'm not sure where... I'm not sure what happened to him in the intervening names, because I know at some point he must have gotten killed because he was resurrected on Krakoa.
Yeah, it would have happened after Decimation M.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it would, after 2005?
Yeah. The thing with the Forsaken and the First Fallen happened recently just during, just after during the Decimation and the 198 thing. Because it says when he showed up at the mansion, he had to disable the government sentinels. So it had to be shortly after that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which sucks, because there was a couple of big things that happened before Krakoa came up. Like Civil War, Secret Invasion, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I just don't pay attention to the British side of it as much. I just don't. Like, because first off, I don't sometimes. Really like all of it's tied to like Captain Britain. I don't really like Captain Britain that much, so like I just don't really read it. Betsy's fine. Betsy's yeah. fine. It's just Brian sucks. So
I don't know. I kind of like Pete Wisdom sometimes. Like I liked him when I did. Weird that he was like I never really got a full thing from him, but I did like reading about him.
So my only exposure to Pete Wisdom is through that weird age gap relationship he had with Kitty.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah,
or Kate, I guess now.
Yeah, Kate.
Yeah, she goes by Kate now, but. Oh, actually, no, she goes by Shadow Cat now because she's just murdering people left and right.
that's right.
no, that's recent. Yeah, she just goes by Shadow Cat now. But there's that weird age gap relationship there, which I was just eh. And also reading that one Onslaught tie-in
right.
of the Excalibur, yeah. and I'm just like, I don't know. He just kind of seems like an asshole who dates young women.
All right, so let's get his stat block out of the way here. Height, 6 feet, 1 inch, weight, 151 pounds, eyes blue, hair black. Jamie sees the world as invisible quantum string constructs, like messy balls of wool full of loose ends and empty space, which he can pull to transform reality, reshaping people into other individuals, animals, or grotesque caricatures, making them shrink or grow, redirecting energy, or changing memories. He can also watch objects in other realities, even granting powers to them. Originally, he could only manipulate dense forms. Phase beings had some level of resistance, needed to be close enough to touch the cosmic filaments things were composed of, and his concentration was disrupted. Some items or people changed would spontaneously revert to normal. There may have been a correlation between insanity and his power level, as both increased noticeably after he spent time in a coma. With a simple act of will, he can now generate vast, complex illusions, redirect another's teleport, and open interdimensional portals. He can raise the dead and can render someone immune to external influences by tightening their quantum strings, removing the gaps. However, Jamie remains able to affect them at will, possibly because he knows which strings are left available to pull. He has created functional copies of the Fury, and can presumably copy other objects too. Jamie appears to be largely impervious to physical damage, even having large holes shot through him causes purely cosmetic damage that swiftly vanishes. He is also able to listen in on telepathic conversations between his siblings, although this power may be unrelated to his other abilities. He can just listen in on twin mind conversations, that's all. No big deal. Let's see, take a quick look at the Ohatmu bingo here.
I request not to do trivia time because I
okay
only make I no I
no, no that's understandable.
I got a lot. I got a lot, but not a bugle. So interacts with all ancient or all powerful being.
Okay, yeah.
That would be Merlin. We talked about multiple X-Men and X-Men teams.
Yes.
Really specific superpower. Mutant. I think he's classed as a mutant.
Yeah, I think that's the like that's why they brought him up on Krakoa, because even if his powers were like kind of brought to the fore, it was because he had the gene.
Yeah, so like I'm pretty sure that both him and Brian Betsy are all mutants.
Yeah,
Free space, obviously. Been mm-hmm. part of multiple teams. Mm-hmm. He's on two teams. From another Earth reality, he interacted with people from another Earth reality.
Yeah, he's hopped around too.
He's hopped around as well. He interacted with Captain America, so I'll put down Avengers.
Okay.
Has a criminal record with that one Dr. Crocodile guy.
Yep.
And then not in New York.
Yeah, that's
city.
Yeah, that is a lot. Wow.
Yeah.
Man, I got a bad one this time. I put resurrection, but because he resurrected people.
Yeah.
And I also marked world universe reality ending event kind of thing, because he took part in helping the reality tsunami thing that Wanda caused.
Yeah.
And I don't know. would it count as he has or had an actual job or life outside superpowers? Because he was a race car driver.
Yeah.
And that was like a celebrity thing he did.
Yeah, if he had like an actual full ass job that wasn't really superpowers, then yeah, I would count it.
Yeah, but that looks about all I really have.
Huh.
Like my card is pretty sparse for him.
That's weird because this is like he's like prime for like multiple bingos on multiple cards.
I know. I just got a bad card for him.
Yeah. But yeah, I was like two away on like in multiple ways.
Wow.
Yep. But would you? No. I was going to try to argue. I was going to try to argue transferable powers because he did transfer some of his immunity to Betsy. But no.
That was more of him just using his powers to make someone stronger.
Yeah.
In a way.
Okay. Well, yeah.
All right. And
he's interesting.
And like he asked, we'll skip trivia. Although I would suggest those who might have not like read it before, I probably would check some of the Excalibur Krakoa era stuff when he was brought back, because that was a little bit X of Swords, because he had to, because the tournament took place in Otherworld, so he showed up a little bit then, like that might give you like some good background of like him just like real quick. Because they fill in the gaps pretty well if you haven't met him before. And I think he's, like, pretty... Well, like I said, he's kind of like a deranged animal. He's kind of like... One of my favorite things was, like, when him and Sinister, like, met at this point. And he was... Because he was the monarch of Camelot, he had, like, a king cape and crown. And Sinister was like, do you think you can have a bigger cape than I can? Or no, it was Jamie. It's like, what's with your cape? And he's like... And like, cause like Sinister had to take it, the team of Marauders to a place. So they had to go through Camelot. And before they like left, he's like, oh, how nice of you. Jamie was like, how nice of you not to, you know, to visit, but not bring a gift. And basically ended up with Sinister having to give him his cape. But anyways, yeah, I kind of like some of the stuff they've done with Jamie. I'd like to see more if I can find it. Definitely want to reread that House of M reality stuff. I'll have to make a note of that. All right. Do you want to plug the other podcast, or should I just do all the plugs together? All right. You can find Art also on Justice Like Lightning, the Thunderbolts podcast, where they talk about they and Faith talk about about the comic Thunderbolts, which is one of Marvel's more interesting titles involving just random collection of bad guys, sometimes doing good, sometimes being good, sometimes pretending good, depending on which volume you're out on. They're in the first volume, you know, first run proper. I think you said that last time we talked that you're almost actually gone to like the end of the first year of the comic, which is for a comic that's, you know, like to get through a first year without any problems is kind of like is probably a good milestone, like that they're at least, you know, doing their best. But you can also find all our stuff about Alphabet Flight on Twitter, Tumblr, TikTok, and Instagram at Alphabet Flight, all one word. We tend to put up little, you know, clips from the show as like a preview, along with covers and images, so you can see what we're talking about a little bit clearer. And, you know, we also let you know what's going on with the show at times, so feel free to follow or look at or whatever. While, I mean, at least on Tumblr, TikTok, and Instagram, he'll still be there. I'm not sure what's going on with Twitter these days. Anyways, that should be everything. So may Khonshu protect you in all your night travels. Good night.
Night.